Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively. We're not in Dundalk anymore. We're at the Costas in Timoney. We're here at the racetrack. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. We will have these again on Thursday when Steve Rouse joins us. I'm getting up early on Tuesday morning. I'm going to be at Deepest Squally's. They got a crab cake there, by the way.
Did a crab cake tour.
Well, see, I'm bringing the Dundalk goons together here in Timonium. Tomorrow, I'm bringing the Highlandtown goons into Canton because I got Pete Carinci coming down from Highlandtown. We're going to talk some soccer. I got Nancy Longo coming to talk about chefing. And speaking of chefing, it is my 27th anniversary when you were county executive, Johnny. You came out and did my 25th anniversary on August 3rd, 2 years ago. We did the Costas. And I'm featuring my 27 favorite things to eat in the region, in the air. It's also during Mako, so I'm going down to the beach in August. This is going to be one of them. This is the spinach dip at Costas. People would say, well, it's spinach dip. How good can it be? Come and get it. But here in Timonium, they're doing it with the, I don't know how to say pita chip in Greek. Pita chip in Greek. Spanikopita. Sort of deconstructed spanikopita. And this thing's delicious. And I'm not going to eat it because I'll get green stuff stuck in my teeth. And I'm with the honorable congressman making his first sitting here since leaving county executiveship and trying to write the ship down in D.C. Amidst long odds. We did sort of getting to know you and changing roles and all of that stuff. I really want to get into your little filibuster for me here on the Big Ugly Bill and all of the tentacles of how awful this thing is and how it ever got done. And were you ever confident, even at the 11th hour, that this might not happen? As a citizen, I thought, this is going to happen because these Republicans are going to cave because it's what they do.
Yeah.
They're going to give Murkowski something she wants, and they're all afraid of going back to their district without whatever's they need to have to make themselves happy.
Well, here's the most disappointing thing about the whole process is that Murkowski could have stopped the bill. She was one of several Republican senators who said they had real concerns about what it does to their constituents, to Americans. And she caved for a half-hearted carve-out for Alaska and Hawaii on some benefits on SNAP and for Medicaid. Temporary, short-lived, and after it passed, she said, "Oh well, I really hope the House takes this up and fixes it," knowing full well that wasn't going to happen, and that was never really an option. Just like people like Josh Hawley, who said he would never vote for a bill that guts rural hospitals, and
this Josh Hawley, that one,
that's the one.
That's the one.
But yet, you know, they hold it, and this has been, at least in my experience, the model has been to hold out, whether it's on SALT or on Medicaid or whatever the case, pick an issue, fashion yourself a moderate or someone who's willing to stand up to, frankly, the president in this case, get a lot of attention, print, social media, cable TV, national television, pundits talking about you, and then fold. And it was tried and true the first time around, and it proved true this time around.
And that's whether it's West Virginia, Alaska, any of the places where you can swing a vote.
And there are places where votes should have swung, because we saw in Nebraska there was a rural hospital the day before the vote who said, in anticipation of these cuts, we are going to close. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. And we'll get into the filibuster, but the lack of courage of people who wrote letters, who issued statements, who were on TV, who were happy to step forward and take the attention, what we were talking about earlier, just this ecosystem of attention-seeking and wanting to be, you know, the thing. I don't mind that. Like, I get it. I'm in politics. Like, attention is good. If it's authentic. And I think what really stung are people that I had deep conversations with who know this was bad for their district, who told me that they didn't personally support it.
Everybody knows Donald Trump's a criminal. They voted for him anyway.
And ultimately, so, that's it, is like that people decided that they wanted to worship at the altar of Donald Trump more than they wanted to protect their constituents from the bad parts of this bill. And that's just the sad reality of what we saw and experienced firsthand.
The amazing thing for me is in all of the corruption with this criminal, this felon who wants to be king, was that I woke up after this thing was passed in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting an email from Social Security that if Martin O'Malley, you can like Martin or not like Martin, but if he's running it, this kind of thing, this kind of propaganda, I'm assuming every American who has a Social Security number got what is absolute bullshit. I mean, just absolute garbage propaganda from a puppet Social Security leader employed by Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
No, Elon opposed the bill. But
to send me that my Social Security isn't good, that this is a good thing, to try to get Americans to send propaganda in the middle of the night to vulnerable Americans thinking that the government did something in their benefit when nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, here's the thing is that for some people, there will be a tax offset, especially for seniors on Social Security. They will see their benefits slightly increase because there'll be a tax write-off. Again, something that I could have supported as a standalone bill. I don't think it's appropriate for government agencies to become political propaganda machines for either party. So, like, what they did was wrong. The net effect of this bill in this space was something I supported. But once you take away the fact that actually for middle income and especially lower income families, the tax brackets are actually changing in a way that people will pay more. The ultra wealthy will pay less. And then as you get more and more down the economic spectrum, you pay more, which is like reverse Robin Hood. You couple that with the loss of health benefits for people who rely on Medicaid and for some people Medicare. There were also cuts to Medicare.
People like my 90-year-old mother, who lived to be 98, needed all of that to continue her life to come into Costas on Mother's Day.
People who rely on SNAP. But even people who have private insurance are going to see their premiums go up, whether you're on the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, or you're on private insurance, your premiums are going to go up because there is less money supporting the healthcare system. There are fewer people who are covered by insurance at all. You're going to see more uncompensated care go to hospitals, which is why hospitals are going to close. You're going to see more uncompensated care. There's not going to be supports for nursing homes. Nursing homes are going to close. You're going to see it be harder to get quality health care and access to health care as it costs you more to do it.
But so, Robert Kennedy was put in front of this, and I'm sure he'll come in and
he'll fix it all.
Fix it all. Uh-huh. I mean, we're going to have more sick people than we've ever had because of how we've cared about this in a general sense. It doesn't take long to figure out that when you turn satellites off and you turn FEMA off and you turn NOAA off and storms are coming, I mean, the lunatic in your wing of the house down there was talking about shooting things into the sky to make hurricanes happen over red states. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what would tether anything to that, to the truth, but people believe it, Johnny.
Yeah. People have gotten detached from what is like truthful and real.
Or even possible. Scientifically or otherwise, I would say, right? Literally.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally. Yeah, if you could just tell my wife I'm doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honey, you'll be home soon. It's okay. It's good. Johnny, always here. We're Costas. We're doing overtime. So other things in this bill that you do not like?
So look, on healthcare, in addition to the 14 million people who will lose coverage, people like Amir Rich, who's a little kid who was born just 2 pounds. He was in the hospital for 450 days. His mother was a correctional specialist for 16 years. Medicaid is the only reason he was able to survive. He relied on CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. 50% of all American children are covered because of CHIP. And so children like Amir will lose
anyone
coverage.
On the fringe. Anyone on the fringe. That's not normal and healthy. But
that's people who have Medicare or Medicaid exactly, especially Medicaid. But like I was saying earlier, this will affect everybody. This is the largest cut to healthcare in our country's history.
And for what
benefit? Care will get more expensive and harder to find for the benefit of billionaires, and the ultra wealthy. This is the largest wealth transfer in our country's
history.
They
don't even run away from that anymore,
Where people who are relying on the government are going to see their taxes go up. People who have been working hard, the working class, will see their money shift to billionaires. And
they don't even call it trickle-down anymore.
The way, as we fund the biggest wealth transfer in our country's history, we're going to see the biggest debt increase in our country's history. So now the $4 to $5 trillion that we just authorized in debt increase, we're doing that to fund health care cuts, tax breaks for billionaires, food benefit cuts. We're doing things like we eliminated a 100-year-old provision that had an excise fee on silencers. So now you can get your silencer without any extra fee. So it's cheaper to buy silencers as our deficit goes up. So our communities are less safe, our deficit's going up. There was a longstanding tanning bed excise tax. We're going to get rid of that too because that's really important for our funding purposes. The president is getting his Garden of Heroes funded to the tune of almost $50 million in this budget. Things that are not essential, that we're ballooning our debt, we're mortgaging our children's future, and people are going to get hurt. I don't know other way to say it. And so, it's incumbent upon me and other people to tell the story. So I appreciate you having me on because I'm going on every platform possible. I've been on Fox News. I've been on CNN. I've been on podcasts. I've been in local press because I cannot stand by and watch what happened and not tell the people both that I represent, but also the American people. I have an obligation to all Americans now to let them know what's going on. And we talked earlier, like, I am a nice guy. I want us to work together. We have to get back to that place. But I also have an obligation when wrong is wrong to say, this shit is wrong.
Right. Like, it is.
This is not okay. This is not okay. And getting us back to a place where we can have decency and that compassion and that care that we talked about in the first episode or the first part here.
Yeah, I talked so much to you about the county, you know, through the years of busting your chops about schools and crime and all that stuff locally. But I didn't talk about what was really going on with the country with this shift of performance politics mm-hmm. that you talked about. And the notion that Josh Hawley, an educated man, would not know better and what an insurrection looked.
He pumped him up before he ran.
The fact that Jamie was probably like in the building
just
down
like
there.
He pumped up his opposition to Medicaid before he voted to cut it. It's performative at its worst because it's built on lies. It's not even real. And that's the thing is like I can handle people.
January 6th was real. Really happened.
That's right. And I can handle people who like get a platform because they perform and it's like things they believe in. But like what burns me up are the Josh Hawleys of the world who are so inauthentic.
Well, Marco Rubio is the king of, like, to me. I think the most authentic thing said about Trump was during the 16 election period where there were 15 candidates on stage and she's bleeding from her, like, all of that mm-hmm. stuff was going on. Jeb Bush said he's a chaos candidate. He would be a chaos president. There was nothing about my life between 16 and 20, including the mask and COVID, that was not chaotic. This first six-month period, the amount of chaos that is self-inflicted, including tweets in the middle of the night that were dropping bombs on Iran. Mm-hmm. I mean, just...
Without congressional authority, by the way.
I was going to go through that with you, being that you are a congressional authority at this point. The unending chaos being the key word, and I don't mean Get Smart's chaos, although that just shows you how smart Mel Brooks was 60 years ago, whatever it was, but chaos... just in a general sense, is you handed your phone to your assistant, and I'm like, what did he do now? I mean, like, literally, because we are, yeah. You're laughing, but.
Yeah. No. I laugh.
By the time this airs on Friday.
I laugh because it's so true, and it is.
Today was Epstein, by the way. Today Epstein was in the news, right? Because we're removed from 3 weeks ago.
There's no way there's not a list of. There's no way. And if there's not, then they've been lying to us for years.
Which is possible, because they lie a lot.
Well,
Well, that but speaks it goes back to Russian, like, Russian
what,
information.
At what point do people out there say
you're
full
lying.
Of it? You're a liar.
They don't, apparently. We're 9 years into this, man. I mean, like, I don't know what else to say. There was an insurrection. Dutch told me about it.
Yeah, I talk to colleagues now who are there, and it's hard to listen to. Like, you think about the fact that, like, you're locked in the chamber that I serve in now, and people are beating it down with, you know, flagpoles and their feet and just stomping doors in. I mean, it's crazy. Just overwhelming.
The craziest part is that half of the country thinks it never happened or is willing to think that it wasn't a big deal.
Well, because they're told it's not a big deal. They're told it. They were told it was peaceful by the president. The president said it's peaceful. It's a lie. It's not true.
Yeah,
we don't even talk about the fact that he pardoned people who attacked police officers who were convicted by a jury of their peers, Republicans and Democrats, independents, moderates, conservatives, liberals. That's what juries are. They were convicted of doing, like, there was enough evidence to indict them, to convict them. And the president said, that's okay. This is the country we're living in right now. But it's incumbent on all of us that if we want something different.
I attended the No Kings rally in Patterson Park. What good are those things? I mean, I know you want people like me to run around and do that, and that would be part of the civic disobedience and the general course of trying to commit the change, but I didn't think I was going to live through that era again of the marches and things that I saw on television when I was a kid.
My friend, we are in the era of marches plus, and the thing is, one rally or protest by itself ain't going to cut it. I ask everybody to commit to one thing.
So made me sad to be there that day.
Pick an issue you're passionate about, whether it's the immigration stuff or the health care or the food benefits, environment. I mean, we haven't talked about how they're gutting, how your cost of energy is going to go up because of this bill that passed.
But I'm passionate about sensible leadership.
Well, but then do one. What I tell people is do one thing every day, and maybe it's you write a member or call a member of Congress. Maybe it's you go to a rally or a protest. Maybe it's you post on social media. But people have to create this drumbeat where popular will is undeniable. And all of that is leading up to voting in the midterms and voting in every future election. And we have an obligation as a society, I think, to pick leaders who can unite us again in a way that lets us heal and get back to acknowledging that there's some real hurt and pain and anger and frustration behind people who give the president and extreme Republicans the latitude to do what they do in Congress. There's something there that we have to acknowledge.
It's just built on such dishonesty.
100%. But it's never going to change until we continue.
It's exploitative of ignorance is really what it is. And when I say that, who you calling ignorant? Look up the word. It just means you don't know, and it means you don't care to know. And the willful ignorance that I have seen, and I see every day. I mean, you're my Facebook page, man. You know, every day I see it. I feel it.
But we have to get enough people engaged to sort of help point out the ways in which individuals are being manipulated, are being fed lies, to get them to see the truth so that come future elections, come future bills, that they're going to be on the side of decency.
I always try to preach to the humanity of people. Mm-hmm. That's what that America thing and the Neil Diamond thing, I mean, that's what brought us all together. Polish people, Hispanic people, my family, you know, came from Scranton, Pennsylvania, like Irish background. That's what brought us all together was this, we're all in it, you know, Costas is open to everybody here.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
yep.
It's a place where people come together and become family.
Yep.
America, you know, I mean.
No one's checking your political card when you walk into this restaurant. We didn't check your political card when we asked if you needed to have your road resurfaced or your school built. We just take care of each other. That's what we
do. By the way,
you know
the county executive, I do have a trash issue I need to. He used to be. Johnny O is here. He's our congressman. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. You have Back to the Future scratch-offs. I'll give you a parting shot on anything you want. I mean, I guess we've kind of gone back and forth on all sorts of things, and I haven't talked to you much about the county because it's not your gig anymore, but you still live here, and you're still around. And one thing I would ask you said something a minute ago about write your congressman. You are my congressman. And I say, what do they write you? I mean, when I hear, like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it, I'm going to write to Chris Van. I can text Chris. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do that he's not already doing, mm-hmm. other than attaboy, mm-hmm. go get him, keep going at him, John. Like, the do attaboys, you really need that?
Yes, the attaboys are great and they're so appreciated. So I can tell you, we've got a staff that takes calls and emails and letters all day. They love hearing from constituents who are like, thank you for what you're doing. And it can be as simple as
that. I'm being honest with you, man. I don't feel like that's what I do, though.
We track it. We report it. We do polls. We do surveys. Like, and we push that information out. And it really helps us be better at our job. Because what I don't want to do is hear people just say, you're doing a terrible job. I disagree. I want to hear from people who agree with us, too.
What can the Democrats do that would be more effective, better, if you're made Democratic God? If you're Wes Moore going to be president, what would you...
I will speak for this Democrat.
Please.
We should do a better job of having an affirmative strategy and policy agenda around workforce opportunities, creating jobs, making housing more affordable, making childcare more affordable, and just putting food on the table. It's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If we are not helping people put food on the table and afford a house they live in, all the other issues don't matter. And the Democrats have been so good at fighting for those issues, but we've really gotten away from communicating that to the public. And we have to get back to that bread and butter, literally and figuratively.
All right, I'll let you get back to the bread and butter of Costas. What's your favorite thing at Costas? Do you have like a side dish that I don't know about?
So
I'm spinach dip guy, so I'm letting everybody know that.
Obviously, don't ever sleep on the crabs. The crabs are amazing, only in Dundalk. But what I will say is, I think it's still on the menu here and there, is John's Jambalaya. The Jambalaya.
He told me about the Jambalaya. Pete did.
The Jambalaya. See,
never had the Jambalaya.
We did not coordinate. So, like,
it's only in Dundalk.
If you're looking for a sneaky good, that's your winner right there. And I've always taken a bunch home with me as a to-go. So, a
couple things have happened in my time at Costas. About 5 years ago, I saw fried shrimp come out of the kitchen. I'm like, I didn't even know you had fried shrimp. I never thought about it. I never looked on the menu. Because you don't always look all through the menu to know that they have a hot roast beef open face sandwich here or whatever, right?
Yeah, you get to your go-tos. I had some wings tonight.
That's your go-to.
Sneaky
That's your
good.
Thing. That's what Sneaky you do, good. Right? So a couple 5 years ago, I saw these shrimp and they came out. I'm like, they look good. Give me those, Pete. Pete brought them over. I took one bite. I'm like, this is the Acme Oyster House in New Orleans' recipe. And it was always the first thing I would do when I go to New Orleans was go there because I love the shrimp. Costas has had those shrimp for all these years. The other thing, I hadn't had a crab imperial, even though I want to be king. I hadn't had a crab imperial in probably 15 years. And a couple years ago, I ordered a crab imperial dish at Costas, and I'm like, now I never not get the mushroom caps because the mushroom caps are the crab imperial.
Yep, yep.
So that would be my thing to tell you. Don't snooze on the imperial.
Mushroom caps with the imperial.
Come to Timonium and feel like a king. You can't get crabs here at Costa, but you get crab imperial. Is that good?
It's close enough.
Close enough to being a congressman. Johnny O is here. He's our congressman. Write him. Yell at him. Tell him he's doing good. Tell him he's doing bad.
Just tell us.
Do that, right?
Yeah, just tell us.
When people tell you you're doing bad, what do they tell you? What's?
I like. I
how could them, you get better, Johnny?
I think our team's great, but you can always be better. Look. Actually, we just finished the 4th of July parades, which is why I'm wearing my hat today. But it was interesting. I had a red Golf Callaway USA hat on, and it was red intentionally, in the same way that we all share the flag, we all share patriotism. And there were a couple of folks who had MAGA hats. They were like, Johnny, you got the wrong. I'm like, no, like, I like my hat better, but like, I respect your right to wear it. And I was like, and what's great is about this country is that, like, we can disagree and still love our country. And I don't love it any less than you do.
And when Republicans in your district don't like you, what do they
yell about? Happy 4th.
What do they yell about? When they come up to you, and what are they maddest at you about the fact that you're a Democrat?
I think that I just don't agree with a lot of their policy positions. I think I hope it's not personal because I don't ever take it personally.
Sometimes I don't go down that road. Like when I run into Johnny Ray, I'm pleasant. Yeah. I like him, but I don't think I could sit here and have a real conversation about Donald Trump with him. I just don't think I could. I don't think that would work.
That is an episode I would listen to. You should do it.
Well, his side would be fiction, and that would really frustrate me. I don't like putting ask Wes Moore and Craig Thompson. I don't like putting lies on the radio. I don't lie for anybody or anything. So Johnny O is here. I want to feed him and get him out of here. My thanks to Jamie, your team, your wife, your
Thank
children
you, yep.
for allowing you yeah. to come out here.
Always great to be
with you.
But
you wanted to come here.
Of
I knew,
course. This
I told
great.
Jamie that. I said, he's going to want to come to Casas and Timonium. It's going to be a big deal for him. And I love the fact that you hadn't been here yet, that you literally
you got
walked
me here.
In with the eyes of a child, literally, right?
Mm. Yep, and I'll be back.
All right. Signing off from Costas momentarily because Steve Rouse will be here in about 5 minutes, and Elena Raskin's also dropping by on Thursday. Come by and see us on Thursday. On Tuesday, we'll be at DePasquale's. Next week, we're doing I got to remember every place I'm doing. Next week, we are in Eldersburg in beautiful Carroll County. I'm going to be at 1623. I want to get my times right on all this to make sure I'm promoting it properly. That is on the 16th. We're going to be in the afternoon. Oh, and then the 18th. This is a big one. We're going to be over at Zeke's Coffee. I have everybody who has been fired or released from the Baltimore Sun for being a Democrat joining me over at Zeke's Coffee.
Oh,
so
wow.
Cal is going to be there, cartoonist Cal. Dan Rodericks is going to be with us. Antero Petilla could not be with us. He's in the Bahamas, which is better for him anyway. And Rasig will be by. So we're doing coffee at Zeke's next Friday. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. My thanks to Pete and to Christine, also to Nick, although he was not here, mixologist John and Maggie and everybody here for making it great. Signing off from Costas in Timonium, in the land of Johnny O and the United States of America. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, still believing in democracy. Stay with it.